Good day, friends. Today I want to talk to you about three lives. In other words, it's possible for every person to live three lives in their existence. We're talking first about the physical life, the human life that has its beginning. And as we emerge coming forth into this scene of action, we have no sin. Jesus used a good illustration regarding that first life, that physical birth, when he used the example in the 18th chapter of Matthew as an object lesson. Perhaps you remember when the question was asked, who would be great in the kingdom, that Jesus called a little child into their midst. And he simply said, except ye be converted and become as little children, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. We're led to believe that this indicates that a child being born into this life has absolutely no sin. Now, I know there are people who actually believe that since we are born in sin, that the sin of Adam is passed on from one generation to another. But the Bible really doesn't teach that. It teaches a predestination from the standpoint of telling us that if we follow the Lord faithfully, that eternal life will be the result. But when man comes into this life, he has absolutely no sin. That's the first life, the physical life. And then there is the new birth that is referred to by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, where he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This refers to the new birth, which is a spiritual birth. You'll notice the contrast between these two in the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus in the third chapter of John's account of the gospel. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and simply asked the question. Well, it was a question in the fact that he said, we know that you're a man come from God because you couldn't perform the miracles that you did. And then Jesus simply said that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Nicodemus, of course, was reasoning, how would it be possible for one to enter through the physical channel again? And of course, Jesus certainly didn't say that we were born physically again. But he did say in verse 5 of John 3, except we be born of the water and the Spirit, we can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. So there is a physical birth. That's the first life. The second life is the spirit, follows the spiritual birth, which is our obedience to the gospel. And then as we recall in the 11th chapter of John's account of the gospel, and you may want to check these references out, where Jesus was talking to Martha at Bethany, where Lazarus, her brother, had died, that he simply said that I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. This indicates the third life, which is eternal life. I trust as we talk to you today about the Word of God that you will certainly sit back and take inventory into your own life. We know, as all who listen today have experienced the first life, the physical birth, coming into this world through that physical channel. That's the course that is taken by all men. But not everyone has entered into this second life that we speak of today on the broadcast, which is the cleansing from sin, to be born again of the water and the Spirit. Someone might say, well, preacher, I've thought about this. I've been thinking about it. It's been in my mind. But I really don't know what to do to be born again. The only answer I can give you on the broadcast today is to simply go to the Word of God. Keep in mind that when that divine power, the Holy Spirit, brought the marvelous gospel that we have before us on the broadcast today down to mortal man, it provided everything that you would ever need and I would ever need for life and godliness. You read that in 2 Peter 1 and 3. The verse actually says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And then if you'll check Colossians 2 and 10, you will find that the Christians who had experienced this new birth were truly complete in him. So may I say the only answer that can be given to your question, or to anyone's question, what must I do to be born again, is simply to go to the Word of God. Many times people try to find their answers in theology. Many times they try to find their answer in the doctrines of men. We do not question on this broadcast at all the honesty of men. We certainly let God determine that. But may I say, friends, that unless it's found in the Word of God, then we realize it must be of human origin. So I would suggest to you that if there is a question in your mind regarding the new birth, that you simply take the examples that are found in the Bible. If you've been listening to this practical preaching series, you know that we're talking about things that can be practiced in your life and in my life. So simply look at the accounts of conversion. I'll give you the chapters in the book of Acts where you'll find these accounts of conversion that'll tell you about how you can be born again. And I'm led to believe that if you do exactly what the Bible says, then truly you will be born of the water and the Spirit, which comprises the new birth according to John 3 and 5. In the second chapter of Acts, we have the conversion of approximately 3,000 souls in the city of Jerusalem upon the day of Pentecost. These people were born again. In the 8th chapter of Acts, we have the account of conversion of the people at Samaria. When you read verse 12 in that 8th chapter of Acts, you'll find that both men and women obeyed the gospel. You'll also find in the 13th verse that Simon, who had been a sorcerer in that same city of Samaria, obeyed the gospel. And later in the chapter, you'll read the story in that 8th chapter of Acts of a man from Ethiopia who was converted to Christ Jesus. You'll also read in the 9th chapter of Acts, as well as the 22nd chapter, the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. We know him as Paul the Apostle, who wrote most of the books that we have in the New Testament. In the 10th chapter of Acts, there will be the account of conversion of the first Gentile, Cornelius, and his household in the city of Caesarea. Also, if you read on to the 16th chapter, and in that chapter, you'll find the very vivid record in the 14th and 15th verses of Acts 16 of Lydia of Thyatira, who was in the city of Philippi, whose heart was opened that she attended unto the things that were spoken of by Paul. Find out what she did. In that same chapter, you'll find the conversion of the Philippian jailer, who was told to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and he would be saved. The chapter tells you what he was called upon to believe and what he was called upon to do. In the 18th chapter of the book of Acts, you will read the conversion of the Corinthians, and no doubt Crispus that's mentioned in that same chapter. Now, I've cited these on the broadcast today that you might simply answer the question, as God would give you an answer from his will, for this truly is the word of God that we proclaim to you, what you must do to be born again. But then there is the third life, and that's eternal life. We must keep this thought in mind, that just as we enter in through the physical channel, life is not over but is beginning. So as we enter in to the Christian life, life is beginning, not ending. And might I say to you that when we enter in through the new birth into Christ Jesus, we never need to be separated from Jesus or God again. That's the principle that was brought out in a very convincing fashion by Jesus as he talked there once again to Martha in that 11th chapter of the book of Acts, or the 11th chapter of the book of John, John 11:26, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Then he said, "Do you believe this?" What did he mean that men would never die? The Bible says it's appointed once for man to die, and after that the judgment. What Jesus is talking about here is even though the physical man must die, even though there must be that which takes place at a memorial service, realizing as you look at the body in the casket that that body is dead. But you see, it's different with the spirit. I believe Jesus is talking about the spiritual part of man when he says, "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." He said, "Do you believe this?" Notice how she answered, and I hope you'll answer it the same way in verse 27 of John 11. Martha saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." You see, Jesus had taught in the 14th chapter of John, just a little later as we have it recorded, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Might we restate to you on the broadcast today, as we have before, that Jesus, being the way, the truth, and the life, has offered unto us the truth that will point to us the way that leads to life eternal. So what are we saying about this third life? We're saying that when you are born again, you never need, spiritually, to be separated from Jesus Christ or God after that. Being faithful unto death, you are assured, according to Revelation 2 and 10, for a crown of life. Paul wrote to a number of congregations in the province of Galatia. In Galatians 6 and 9, he simply said, "Let us not become weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And then the wonderful closing salvo of teaching that's found in the 22nd chapter of Revelation, the final chapter in the Bible. Listen to the 14th verse. "Blessed are they that do his commandment, that they may have right to the tree of life and enter through the gates of the city. The commandments of the Lord are not grievous." When we enter into the new birth, we are commanded to obey the gospel. And as we told you on the past broadcast in Acts 10:48, Peter commanded the household of Cornelius to be baptized in the name of the Lord. He spoke by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We are aware of the fact if we keep his commandments according to that Revelation 22:14, we shall not alone be blessed, but we shall have a right to the tree of life. That tree of life is in heaven. It is associated with the very essence of life itself, and it brings to us in a very definite manner a wonderful picture that God has in mind for those who have been redeemed from sin and who may have their bodies redeemed so that they will be prepared for that wonderful eternity. So here are the three lives: the physical life, the spiritual life, and eternal life. May God help you to touch all of the bases on this subject by preparing yourself to meet him eternally. May God help us as we obey his marvelous and his wonderful truth.